Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We wish to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider constituency on conventional radio in the American South. We're joined in this next half hour by William Blum, also known as Bill Blum, B-L-U-M. If that's a correct pronunciation of Bill's last name, he is a very fascinating person, by the way. I am a subscriber to his online Anti-Empire Report. We're going to be talking about that publication here shortly in our chat with Bill. And I also wanted to bring you up to speed on his biography, which you can find at Wikipedia. He was born in 1933. He's an American author. He's a critic of U.S. foreign policy. He's a former State Department employee who left the organization in 1967 due to his opposition to the Vietnam War. From 1972 to 1973, and I find this to be very key, Bill Blum was stationed in Chile, where he reported on the Allende government's so-called socialist experiment. In the mid-1970s, he worked in London with ex-CIA agent Philip Agee and his associates. Agee wrote a critique of CIA operations in his book, Inside the Company, CIA Diary. Bill Blum was the founder and editor of the Washington Free Press, one of the many newspapers in the loosely organized U.S. underground press in the 60s and 70s that opposed the Vietnam War. He's in the past been a supporter of Ralph Nader. He devotes substantial attention in his Anti-Empire Report to CIA interventions and assassination plots, and his work has been publicly recommended by folks including Noam Chomsky, Helen Caldicott, and Oliver Stone. Bill, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. Thank you, fine.
Yes, did I pronounce your last name correctly, Bill?
Right. Blum.
It is Blum.
Yes.
Yes, well, I have enjoyed your anti-empire report, which I have been subscribing to online. Tell us, in terms of the way you read this present situation, where do you think this thing with Iraq is headed? Do you think we're going to go to war with Iran? And at what point do you think there's going to be a complete political backlash in this country against these so-called wars for empire?
Well, that's a very complex question with many parts to it. About Iraq, where it's headed, only to hell. I can't see anything good coming out of that. It's just
yes.
one horror after another. What the U.S. government has done to the people of Iraq is one of the most outrageous atrocities in history. I can't see anything good coming out of that, except, I mean, if eventually the U.S. government leaves, I think the civil war will calm down a lot. I think the civil war exists largely because of the U.S. occupation. It began with attacks against the occupation, and then retaliation by certain people against it all stems from the occupation. It's very complicated. With Iran, it looked a few weeks ago pretty certain that the U.S. was going to invade or bomb. Invade implies a ground attack, and this what they have in mind is an air attack. But the meeting last week in the Middle East, which included the U.S. and Iran and Syria, may indicate a pause or a break in that strategy. I'm not sure, but I'm trying to be optimistic about this and think that that might be at least a hesitation on the part of Washington.
Well, when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, I want to ask William Blum a couple of follow-up questions on his initial statements. We'll return. Stay tuned.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the fair. But there is a place sweet as you will ever know.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined through 9:30 this morning, Central Standard Time, by William Bloom, the editor of the Anti-Empire Report. I've noted Bill's biography, as you can find it at Wikipedia. Later, when I post information on the show through the Breaking All the Rules News website, I'll be providing links to some of Bill's articles and references online. Also wanted to draw your attention to the fact that the Republic Broadcasting Network draws closer to having all of its archives restored and uploaded. And when that occurs, I will be posting a description on this show with information about William Bloom and how you can contact him in terms of his public email address and also how you might subscribe to the Anti-Empire Report. Bill, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a couple of things you said before the commercial break. This whole business about war with Iraq, even for those who supported the war, who now concede that it was a big mistake, that it was conducted for false reasons, and that the death toll and the debt have become insurmountable, indicate, some of these folks still indicate that we need to stay in this thing until there's some sort of a political resolution of it. to avoid, among other things, a so-called civil war between Shiites and Sunnis. What I hear you saying is that the American involvement itself is what has fanned the flames of that whole situation, and that an American withdrawal would actually help rather than exacerbate that situation.
Yeah, the attacks by the insurgents have been against not just American forces, but against people who seem to be collaborating with the American forces. And so this is attacks of Iraqis against other Iraqis, which of course led to revenge attacks. And so the whole cycle began, back and forth. People, anyone associated with the occupation was a target, and then those who were targeted took their revenge upon those they thought were behind the attacks, and then their friends and family took their revenge, and so on. But the whole cycle began because of the occupation, and it's only when the occupation ends that some semblance of the good feeling which existed before between Sunnis and Shiites can be restored. And it certainly, there was no civil war atmosphere or hatred before the American occupation. It all began with the occupation.
Well, to me, when I look at these things as a non-military expert, I'm reminded of the fact that I believe it was Paul Wolfowitz who made the prediction in 2003 that the United States could successfully prosecute this war and the occupation for a price tag of about $50 billion. As near as I can tell, we're coming up to about $400 billion with the meter still running. As far as deaths are concerned, I've read a report that I've made reference to before in this show that according to the British medical journal Lancet, there have been something like 655,000 Iraqi deaths just since March of 2003, and that's apparently on top of the 500,000 Iraqi children under the age of 5 who are alleged to have perished as a result of the sanctions regimen that have been in place since 1991 or so. When I look at those kinds of figures, both on the American side of the ledger as well as on the Iraqi side, clearly we've got a real serious problem here. Do you think, as you watch this whole thing unfold, that this pause that you referred to, what seems to be a pause in the rush up to what many felt was going to be a preemptive military strike on the part of the United States against Iran, that this pause, if it's real, is an indication that even those who have these sorts of imperial designs are coming to some conclusions that maybe this thing is not doable based upon the amount of failure that we've had in Iraq? What's your reading on that?
Yeah, I think the election of this past November, which put the Democrats in charge of Congress, certainly has an effect upon the Bush administration. That has slowed them down. Not that the Democrats' view on the war is to my liking. They're still very chicken in their statements and in their proposed solutions. But the fact that they are not quite as gung-ho as the White House has slowed down the White House. And plus, all these continuing scandals, one after another, concerning people in the government, in the White House, it shows that even the Bolsheviks, as I call them sometimes, even they can be embarrassed. Sometimes I used to think that they were beyond being embarrassed, but even they can be slowed down and made self-conscious by all the opposition.
What do you make of the belief of some that the Israeli lobby has had an awful lot to do? Some people would argue that it has been the major player in pushing the United States into this conflict in the Middle East. And of course, I don't know if you agree with that presupposition or not, but given that that's an argument that some make, when we read the texts of some of the speeches that have been made in recent times before AIPAC and before this Herzliya conference in Israel on the part of people like Hillary Clinton and John Edwards, and then some of Obama's recent statements on these subjects, to what extent should we see both the Democrat and Republican parties as hostages to this so-called neoconservative foreign policy and interventionist policy, largely because of the influence of the Israeli lobby. What do you think of that statement?
I agree very much. I think the both parties are hostage to the Israeli lobby. I think the invasion of Iraq has several motivations behind it, one of which was to help Israel, supposedly, who felt threatened by Saddam Hussein. In the case of Iran, that's Israel, as far as I can see, is the only reason. They are screaming now, if we don't destroy Iran, their government, there will be a second Holocaust. That's the term they use. They are the chief pusher of an invasion of Iran, and if not for that, I don't think there would be any great incentive. The U.S. can't muster up enough ground forces for an invasion of Iran, and they wouldn't even want the oil, because that would you have to occupy them control the oil, and the U.S. government obviously cannot occupy Iran. It can barely occupy Iraq. So I think the only reason for any intervention in Iran is for the sake of Israel, to take away what Israel sees as a threat from Iran, which I think is fictitious anyhow. But that is the only reason I can see behind all this talk about an invasion of Iran.
Do you think it ultimately will happen?
I don't know. I would like to think not. It scares me. I mean, it's horrible enough to have to follow the news every day about the events in Iraq. To be reading the same thing happening in Iran at the same time would be too much for many people. And we just go into a cocoon and hide. I mean, it's just too sad and too scary.
Yes, and, you know, to me, as I look at this thing, now I know that my observations at this point are not scientific, but living here in San Antonio, Texas, which is historically a pretty conservative place, and where you have the long-term influence of both the U.S. Air Force and the United States Army here, in the year that I have been back in San Antonio, after being gone for a number of years, going to graduate school one more time in Philadelphia, I have noticed down here that there have been fewer stickers of support for the war and fewer Bush-Cheney stickers on cars than was the case even 12 months ago when I first arrived. And it's striking to me that what seems to be the removal of a lot of those overt artifacts on automobiles, which were being used to support the president's line on this thing, that we've seen in a scientific vein, quite clearly, the declension in the polls, both for Bush and Cheney personally, as well as for the American effort in Iraq, is a part of the reason for the pause that you see in the American situation with Iran, due to the fact that the political policy elites have decided that right now their fortunes are way down on the Richter scale when it comes to the American public, and that they're going to have to, if they really want to do this thing with Iran, they're going to have to come up with something to sell it. I mean, are we looking at a potential for a false flag incident given this kind of political environment?
Well, of course, if they do decide to invade Iran, they will find some pretext, some incident which will be manufactured either in Iran or Iraq. And, of course, they are very much less popular now than they were before, and that has to slow them down. I don't think I've ever seen a sticker supporting the war, actually. I've seen some saying support our troops, but I've never seen one supporting the war per se. And it wasn't much to begin with, and now it's fading into nothingness. I think they have to, that has to slow them down.
Yes. And we'll be back with William Bloom of the Anti-Empire Report. I'll be saying something online here about a very important book that he's written on the subject, as well as to give listeners an opportunity to subscribe to his newsletter. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined in this last half hour by William Bloom, who has written a lot of amazing things. He is the editor of the Anti-Empire Report. He's written a book entitled Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II. And if you go to Bill's website at killinghope.org, that's www.killinghope.org, you'll see information about Bill Bloom and his essays and his books and the number of people who are involved in giving endorsements to him. It's a very, very significant list of folks, both in regard to the book as well as to the Anti-Empire Report newsletter, which I am a subscriber to. And if you go to www.killinghope.org, you can find, again, information on how to receive that newsletter for yourself online. Bill, talking about some of the things we've been chatting about here in these last few minutes, I'm reminded of the fact that when I look at names like Noam Chomsky, Gore Vidal, just to name a couple of people, who are identified in the minds of many with the American left, that on the subject of the war in Iraq and the so-called war on terror, that they're largely saying a lot of the things that anti-war people on the right, like Pat Buchanan, have been talking about as well. Do you find this significant, that perhaps there is an anti-empire, anti-interventionist foreign policy that's coming up to the fore that involves not simply identifiable names like Chomsky and Vidal on what is called the American left, but now we have and have had in recent years a number of people on the anti-war, anti-empire right who've been gaining some traction as well? Is this a political alliance that can become more effective in opposing what is going on with Bush and what's going on with both the Iraq war as well as this talk of a preemptive strike against Iran? What do you think?
Well, I personally, I'm very pleased to see the joining of the anti-war forces by people on the right, like Buchanan. There was a distinction, though, to be made, I believe. I think most of those on the right who are against the war could be categorized as libertarians. And they, in general, are against almost anything done by the U.S. government, which isn't the attitude of people on the left. I personally have no problem with so-called big government. It's what the government does at home or abroad, what it does per se, that bothers me. It's not the concept of it being big government. And if it did better things, I wouldn't be so opposed to it. But people on the right, the ones you're referring to, they are against government actions per se very often, and that's how we differ.
Yes, and I think that that's an important distinction. I think at the same time, on the issue of this war anyway, that potentially this could be a political alliance that might have some fruit to bear. I have had several guests on this show in recent weeks who've been emphasizing the fact that when it comes to the American right, really largely through the influence of William F. Buckley's National Review after World War II, the American right has really become the mainstream version of it, pretty supportive of this notion that the CIA could do whatever it wanted to abroad, that an American military or foreign policy based on military intervention was okay, with the idea in mind that the anti-communist mantra was to be applied to each and every one of these situations. Now it seems that with the end of the so-called Cold War, the American right has really begun to fragment on this issue. Again, do you see this as a situation where in terms of this war with Iraq, that the fact that you have less support for it across the board, apparently, as far as the American public is concerned, if we're to believe these poll numbers, and then specifically that there are elements on the American right now coming forth to say, hey, this thing was a big mistake, that this quite conceivably could be the seeds of the beginning of the end, not simply for this war for empire in Iraq, but that we might see a real reevaluation of this whole neocon foreign policy?
Well, I would love to think that might be the case. I really can't be overly optimistic. I'd be happy enough to see the war in Iraq come to an end, just as I was happy to see the war in Vietnam come to an end, or at least the American involvement in it. Unfortunately, that was soon replaced by a bunch of American involvement in the wars in Central America, which was then replaced by the first Gulf War and so on. So there's been no end for the interventions, only some pauses. And I don't know if in the future there's going to be any end to it either. Unless the Democrats become much more opposed to the empire than they are right now, that's the key to changing this whole cycle.
Yes, and most ominously, it appears that the Democrats are prepared to give Bush $20 billion more than he asked for in regard to this present situation in the Middle East. Bill, I know you're going to have to run pretty soon, but I hope you'll stay on. We come back to just finish things up. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in this last half hour has been William Bloom. You can find Bill's website at www.killinghope.org. That's www.killinghope.org. He is the editor of the Anti-Empire Report, which you can subscribe to online by going to killinghope.org. And finding Bill's email address where by sending him a note to his email address, BillBloom6@AOL.com. Or that's, let's see, is that BBloom@AOL.com, Bill?
AOL.com, yeah.
Yes. And they, you know, I was just saying to the listeners that they could avail themselves of all of this information by going to killinghope.org and then, of course, utilizing your email address to sign up for a subscription. I understand you've got a speaking engagement coming up in Columbus, Ohio tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, it's at the Capital university at 7:30 in the evening, and no admission charge. That's all there was to say about it. And I'll be there. I'll be selling and signing books as well.
Yeah, if people go to killinghope.org and scroll down to the bottom of the page, Bill Bloom is going to be in Columbus, Ohio tomorrow, Capital University, the Ruff Learning Center, the Bridge of Learning Room. That's at Main Street and Pleasant Ridge Avenue, and that's going to be at 7:30 p.m., and there's a contact telephone number there for further information. Bill, as we wind it up in terms of your segment, because I know you have to go, if the United States does attack Iran, what do you think is going to happen as a result of that? How will it play out, in your view?
Just more horror for an area of the world which is just overflowing with horror already. Iran is not as helpless as Iraq or Afghanistan were. Their ability to retaliate against U.S. invasions or attacks is much greater, and there may be some very sad things taking place all over that area, including perhaps even the blockage of the ships in the Gulf, which carry oil. So it's a very sad prospect if it takes place.
Yes, that's my reading of the whole thing as well. And as I watch it unfold, let's trust that it doesn't happen, and that there's going to be a future change in course in regard to American foreign policy. But I have to say that I'm not optimistic. Would that be your point of view as well?
If you mean about there not being an attack, I don't know. I vary based on what I read in the news each day. Sometimes I'm sure what's going to happen, and then sometimes I'm not sure, which is the way I felt before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And yet, in hindsight, I could say it seems that the invasion of Iraq was fully planned for and intended for months and months beforehand, and all this back and forth and speculation which the media and myself engaged in was futile, because it was a done deal. It was a foregone conclusion. As in hindsight, I think it's easy to say that. That may well be the case with Iran, and all this speculation and hesitation is just another repeat of what happened in 2002 and 2003.
Yes. One other question that I know you need to run. In regard to the CIA, you're an acknowledged expert in that arena, particularly as it relates to CIA assassination plots historically. As we have seen stuff covered in the international press in regard to the CIA's involvement in these so-called extraordinary renditions, which apparently involve abducting people and then transferring them to undisclosed locations for interrogation and some would argue torture. Is this a suggestion that the CIA is back to the status that it once enjoyed, where it could pretty much do whatever it wanted to with impunity, up to and including the utilization of the technique of assassination?
Well, there has been one positive change over the years. Things are less hidden, or for shorter periods of time than before. Back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, years and even decades could elapse before CIA operations were disclosed. Now, it's a question of weeks and months. The media and the world have learned to evaluate such actions much better and much quicker than before, and so the ability of the agency to cover up what they're doing is much reduced, and that's a healthy thing. That's a big difference.
Do you think the internet has played a role in that whole thing?
Yeah, certainly it has. Plus, all the past exposures. I mean, beginning with the Church Committee in the 1970s, which was the first major expose of the agency, And continuing after that, there's been one expose after another. It all builds up and makes people much more attuned to what might be happening behind the surface. And people are looking for such things much more than they used to. And the help of the Internet, as you say. And because they are looking for these things much more, they find them much more. There are many more people on the inside who are willing to become whistleblowers than before. So it all adds up to it's to the fact of life that it's much more difficult for the agency or for the U.S. government in general to hide what it's doing as well as before.
If there's an American military involvement that involves a reinstitution of the draft, do you think that that will bring the anti-war movement back into focus in the way that it was involved in the 1960s during the Vietnam conflict? And do you think that this time there would be a much wider political spectrum from left to right involved in a 21st century anti-war movement in this country?
I would like to think it would be very widespread. This Saturday, the 17th, is going to be a march on the Pentagon. They were expecting a huge crowd, well over 100,000 people from all over the country to be coming to Washington. And they will assemble on the Mall and cross over the bridge leading to the Arlington Cemetery and then onto the Pentagon. And it will be a very exciting event. And I think that kind of event would increase and become more common if the draft were reinstituted as was the case in the 1960s.
What do you think the chances are that there will be a reinstitution of the draft, particularly if we expand this thing into Iran?
I don't know. I mean, this is all speculation. I really have no inside information, and my ability to predict the future is no better necessarily than anyone else's. I just don't know.
Yes. And again, I know you have to run in terms of what you're doing at killinghope.org. What kinds of projects do you foresee for yourself in the next couple of years?
Well, I don't have any new book on the horizon. I'm just continuing with my anti-empire report and speaking engagements. Those are the two things which occupy my time for the most part.
Yes. Well, listen, I wanted to thank you for coming on, Bill. I've taken up 10 or 12 more minutes of your time than we had agreed upon, and I really appreciate that.
That's okay. Thank you very much, Mark.
Hey, God bless you, and I'm going to be posting information on your URL and in your books and so forth, both at Breaking All the Rules News as well as in the New Republic Broadcasting Network archives when those come up, so that a lot more people will find William Bloom and will avail themselves of the Anti-American Report or the Anti-Empire Report. Thanks, Bill.
Bye-bye.
God bless. That was Bill Bloom of the Anti-Empire Report. You can find his URL at www.killinghope.org. A lot of very fascinating things there, as well as information on his book entitled Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II. And online, there is a table of contents there at killinghope.org of this book where certain chapters can be accessed. Now, I notice that he has a section here entitled Italy, 1947 to 1948. That's material from that can be accessed online through killinghope.org. He also has chapter 14 as an online access. That's entitled Indonesia, 1957 and 58, War and Pornography. Chapter 25 goes down to Ecuador, 1960 to 1963. A textbook of dirty tricks, and chapter 30 on Cuba from 1959 through the 1980s is available online. Chapter 33, Uruguay from 1964 to 70 is online. That's entitled Uruguay, Torture as American as Apple Pie. Chapter 37, Guatemala 1962 to the 1980s, a much less publicized Final Solution. Chapter 41 is online from killinghope.org. You can find Chapter 41 of Bill's book, which is entitled Angola, 1975 to 1980s. the Great Powers poker game. My friend, the late Jonas Savimbi, was caught up in all of that. I've made reference to him in the past on this show. And what really happened to Jonas Savimbi as a result of some very interesting dealings between Condoleezza Rice and the Chevron Corporation that involved Angola. Chapter 51 of Bill Bloom's book, which you can find through killinghope.org, deals with Bulgaria 1990 and Albania 1991. Chapter 52, dealing with Iraq from 90 through 91, is available online, as well as Chapter 53 on Afghanistan from 1979 to 1992, and Haiti from 1986 through 1994. And Bill's book has an appendix in it, which is also available online, entitled U.S. Government Assassination Plots. All of that can be accessed, again, at www.killinghope.org. And this book of Bill's, Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II, it seems to me is a research volume that will underscore the fact that both the American left and the American right are increasingly coming to question some of these activities in regard not only to morality, but in terms of the long-range interest of the United States as we currently see that constituted. One of the things that Bill Bloom said this morning that I thought was interesting is that he drew a distinction between the anti-war left on the one hand and the anti-war American right on the other. Bill mentioned the libertarian movement on the American right. I would also add to that the paleoconservative movement, the America First movement, those who are opposed to unnecessary foreign wars that have not been constitutionally declared and that constituted an imperialistic foreign policy that ultimately becomes unsustainable, as it did for the Roman Empire as well as the British Empire as well as for the former Soviet Union. So when it comes to the American right, I think it needs to be underscored that not only the libertarians, but the paleoconservatives and the America First people, characterized by some of the folks who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network and who read the American Free Press, is to be underscored here as being a key component in the concerns about what is now going on both in Iraq as well as in Bush's war on terror, as well as in this proposition that keeps surfacing in regard to the idea of potentially attacking Iran. Bill said something else today on the air that I found to be very interesting, and that is that he has a greater commitment to big government than would characterize those of us on the American right who oppose this present situation in Iraq. That's a fundamental ideological difference, isn't it, between American left and American right historically. And where I'm coming from is that the empire that is involved in all of these activities abroad is the same empire and the same government representing that empire that is involved in the suppression of the domestic liberties of the people of the United States at home. We've seen it with the USA Patriot Act 1, the USA Patriot Act 2, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, the revelations about the NSA spying and surveillance program. It was not under the authorization or review of any court in the country. These are all indications to me that you can't have big government at home and expect not to have the development of an empire-oriented, militaristically-oriented, interventionist-oriented foreign policy abroad. And the reverse is also true. When you have a foreign policy based upon empire abroad, it's going to result in an absolute curtailment of the political liberties and economic liberties of the local domestic populace. So this, to me, is very noteworthy as when one makes the distinctions between American left and right on these subjects. And, of course, because I'm a part of the American right, I happen to believe personally that our anti-government philosophy across the board is far more cohesive ideologically and far more consistent philosophically. But that's a difference of opinion. I think that keeping in mind that William Bloom is going to be in a different place from most of you and also from me among those who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network, I still think you'll find his book to be invaluable. Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II. And you can find all of this at Bill's website at killinghope.org. I wanted to mention something that I briefly made reference to it in the earlier portions of the show, and that is that we have some additional postings online at Breaking All the Rules News in regard to certain guest appearances on RBN in recent days. I have managed to post information about today's appearance by William Bloom at Breaking All the Rules News at batr.net/BATR News. I have also posted information about the appearances of Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar on the show on Monday, as well as Jim Fetzer's appearance on Friday representing 9/11 Scholars for Truth. When you get to all of these various guests at Breaking All the Rules News, there will be information there which will enable you at the click of a button to go directly into their respective websites as well as the articles that they have posted online. In regard to Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, who was my guest on Monday, I certainly see him as one of the key Iranian, Central Asian, and Middle Eastern scholars available anywhere. I will say more about this posting on BATR in regard to his show on Monday, and to say a little bit more about the Republic Broadcasting Network when we come back. This is Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now.
Check, please. You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Perfect harmony. and teach the world to snuff the fires and the liars. Hey, I know it's just a song, but it's fast for the recipe. This is a love attack. I know it, our body's back.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've had two guests today. The first was Thomas Ginn of the Confederate States of America. You can find Tom's websites at csanews.net, also at confederatelegion.com, and at confederatestatesalliance.net. Those are csanews.net, confederatelegion.com, and confederatestatesalliance.net. That last one is confederatestatesalliance.net. Our second guest was Bill Bloom with the Anti-Empire Report. You can find information about that one at killinghope.org, www.killinghope.org. Tomorrow, I'm going to have Kevin Barrett on this show. Kevin is another one of our broadcasters at RBN, and we're going to be discussing all kinds of things related to the Islamic religion in the Middle East, to neoconservative foreign policy, and where Kevin sees the liberty movement going in the United States, as that movement is understood by folks who read the American Free Press and listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network. So Kevin Barrett will be on tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. I think you'll enjoy that show very much. You know, getting back to what we were talking about in the first part of the show today before the first guest, I find it interesting that the Jewish Week, which serves the Jewish community of Greater New York, is expressing some concerns about John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio and the way in which this so-called hardline pastor, using their terminology, not mine, hardline pastor gets prime APAC spot. So on the one hand, you have a situation here where quite clearly John Hagee is marshaling a lot of political and economic forces on the Christian right to be involved in supporting APAC and to be involved in supporting other pro-Israel ventures, as Pastor Hagee understands that with his Christians United for Israel International. And yet once more we see that this alliance is a very questionable one, not simply in terms of political consistency and whether or not that alliance is something that is advisable in terms of the interest of the average Christian and average American. I clearly believe that that alliance is not in our interest, and that the linkage of the Israeli lobby to certain mouthpieces of the Christian right, including John Hagee of Cornerstone Church, is an absolutely disastrous situation for you and for me. But suffice it to say at the same time that if one looks at the Jewish Week and sees this post, which goes back to the 9th of March, just a few days ago, that a number of individuals in the Israeli lobby are beginning to worry that maybe this alliance with Hagee is not all that it's cracked up to be in terms of their interest. Going to be very curious to see how that plays out in the days ahead. I'll be making reference tomorrow to that post of the Jewish Week with more of a perspective on what it means for you and for me, those of us who are Christians and who are Americans and who favor a strong America, who think that this alliance with the Israeli lobby is the wrong move and the wrong turn in a disastrous portent of things to come in regard to the fortunes of our people. This is Mark Dankos, America, signing off today on the Republic Broadcasting Network, having come to you live from San Antonio, Texas. See you tomorrow. God bless.